Welcome to Hope Chapel. You're about to listen to Ben Humphries.
All right, today we are continuing. How good is Romans, the gospel for all? We're continuing today with that, so it's going to be a great day. I hope you're ready for it. Well, today we've got Romans 9 to 11. There's three chapters, and I'm going to be going through the three of them, which is great fun. And the theme for these three chapters is the gospel for all nations. Thank you, Jackson. That was absolutely amazing. Brilliant. Yes, big round of applause for Jackson. That's great. The gospel for the nations. God's heart for those outside. And the key verse that holds it all together is Romans 10:13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, right at the start of Romans, Paul quotes the prophet Habakkuk, and he says, "The just shall live by faith." And that quote, you could almost see it as a summary for the whole book. At the start of the Romans, it's talking about the just. That's those who have been made righteous by faith. And we've covered that very well. That's the just, those who have been made righteous. And then the live, that the just shall live by faith. The live is the life that we live as a result. And we've been unfolding that and we continue to look at that. And now in chapters 9, 10 and 11, before Paul moves on, he takes a couple of steps back. If you've noticed when we've been reading, he'll put some things out there and then we'll go back and ask another question and then look at another question, and he's kind of working his way towards what he's looking towards, but he just takes a couple of steps back. And you would almost think that the logical flow of thought from after chapter 8, where it says that if God is for us, then who could be against us? It almost seems to flow straight into chapter 12, that it says that therefore, in view of God's mercies, let's just live our lives as a sacrifice, as a living sacrifice. But there's one big question that Paul has left unanswered, and it's a question where Paul finds himself wedged in the middle of his own personal struggle, and you see just the reality of his life and just the rawness of it. But it's the fact that he's been saved by the grace of God, but his friends and family and loved ones are still not saved. And as an apostle to the Gentiles, he's seeing the mercy of God poured out to strangers, but his own people are not moving forward in the plans and purpose of God. And this is the question that he had asked back in Romans 3. It said, "But what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect?" You know, these are Paul's loved ones. These are his family, his friends, the physical descendants of Abraham. They had the covenants, the law and the promises, but they'd rejected Jesus. And so before he can move on, he has to go back and answer the question that challenges God's faithfulness. The good news is, you'll be pleased to know, we're going to look at that Paul is going to argue that God hasn't abandoned anyone. The question goes to the heart of God being true to his word. And God hasn't, if God hasn't honored his word to Israel, then all of God's promises are in trouble. And Paul is back in the courtroom. We're going to get back in the courtroom, which is going to be great. Arguing in defense of God's faithfulness to all people. To all people. And how the grace and mercy of God is now poured out to all who call on his name. God hasn't cast away the Jews. He's not been unfaithful to his promises to them. And the promises of God were always intended to reach all the nations of the earth. And we've got three main points to look at today. Those three points are the urgency of the gospel, the reach of the gospel, and the mercy of the gospel. The first one, the urgency. Paul didn't actually plant the church in Rome. It most likely started when Jewish Christians returned from the day of Pentecost. And one little small spoiler alert, I don't think I'm spoiling anything much from Romans 15, is that Paul is actually planning to visit Spain. He's wanting to take the gospel further than it's ever gone before, and he needed a home base to launch from. But there was a division in the church in Rome between the Jewish and the Gentile Christians, and Paul has to clarify that God's plan has always included both Jews and Gentiles. In Romans 9, verse 6, it says that it's not as though God's word had failed. For not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. Do you know, God had called Israel to do a very difficult job. Upholding the law was always going to be very challenging. You know, it's a bit like watching a game of football and promising not to get angry. You know, it's all good in theory until some idiot umpire makes a ridiculous decision and then all something breaks loose. You know, it's like, yeah, I promise I can just not get angry watching football, but then when the rubber hits the road, we're all in the same boat, aren't we? And in Galatians 3:24, Paul says, "So the law was our guardian until Christ came so that we might be justified by faith." And so it was a step along the way that God had always planned. And now the Jews had to open their heart to the Gentiles and outsiders coming in. But the Gentiles had to understand the heritage of their faith. And so Paul is building the case that God's plan has always been to include all people. And now Paul starts quoting a whole heap of Old Testament scriptures. One third of all of Paul's Old Testament quotes are in these three chapters. Out of all of his letters, one third of his Old Testament quotes are in these three chapters. And he explains that there is a difference between ethnic Israel, that is Abraham's descendants, and spiritual Israel, who are Jewish Christians, those who have faith in Jesus. Not all of ethnic Israel has believed in Jesus yet, but God is still being faithful to his Old Testament promises. And Paul explains that it's God's choice that he reaches out to those we didn't expect. Abraham had two sons, Isaac and Ishmael, but only Isaac received the promise. Also, Isaac's son Jacob received the blessing instead of his older brother Esau. And so that's the missing link, that Old Testament prophecies have always included God working through unexpected people. And now Jesus is the chosen one to carry the promise of salvation for everyone. It says in Romans 10, verse 4, "Christ is the culmination of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes." The word culmination or fulfillment there means the end or the goal. And so Jesus is the goal of the law. He is what it's all been leading towards. And God said he would send the Redeemer, and he has delivered on his promise. And just because many rejected Jesus the Messiah, it doesn't cancel out the promises that God has made. And Paul very cleverly looks at salvation history as a whole, all the way from the past to the present and into the future. We can think about it like this. It's not an Olympic year this year. We're a long way off of the Olympics yet. I think the next one's in 28, is that right? So, but we can think about, you know, the running races at the Olympics. Each race or heat leads to the next. And you have to qualify in each stage to move on, and so on until you qualify for the finals. And then you arrive at the grand final race. And we are in the grand final race. This is speaking towards the urgency of the gospel. We are in the grand final race. This is where Paul was placing things in salvation history. And we aren't finished the race yet. We're not finished yet. But Jesus is God's final word on salvation. And so Paul is explaining where we've come from, to where we are, to where we're going. The semi-finals are finished. We've started the final race. And in the future will be a grand final celebration, but God is still holding open the starting gates for others to join in. But you have to cross the line of the previous race to qualify, and Jesus is the finish line of the Old Testament law. So this is the urgency of the gospel. We're in the final race. Many people have lined up and started running, but it's not too late for others to join in. In fact, Jesus says that this gospel must be preached to all nations in Matthew 24. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. You see, Paul is explaining that we're at the time in history where our role is to jump over the fence and reach out to the crowd. In fact, it's probably we need to break the fence down, remove the barriers, because they're the people that we need to reach out to. And because an evangelist, if we think about the word evangelist, it's a messenger or a proclaimer of good news, somebody who goes out of their way to bring other people in. And when Jesus talks about the way he wants us to reach out to people, he says, "Give them your shoes, give them your clothes, feed them and give them a drink." It's not saying that we need to actually do those things, although it's great if you do. But the thing is, it's like, what's more important, being embarrassed or seeing others run the race? Losing our own shoes or helping somebody else run the race? And that's the urgency that Paul's talking about in chapter 9, that we need to get as many people as we can to run the race. Amen? Fantastic. You're taking it all in. Seems quiet. That's okay. It's all right. It's okay being quiet. The reach of the gospel. Romans 10:13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So this is where we're back in the courtroom that we've set up. Right back at the start of the series. Paul is arguing the case for the defense. He's defending the faithfulness to all people, God's faithfulness to all people. The Jews are arguing the case for the prosecution. They're saying that Paul's not telling the truth. And the Gentiles, well, they don't really know what's happening, to be honest. They're just watching in the galleries, and they're listening intently, and they're watching and having some popcorn. And Paul starts bringing in some eyewitnesses from the Old Testament. The first witness that Paul brings in is the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 28. And he says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, that whoever believes will not act hastily." That phrase means to be saved. The second witness is the prophet Joel in Joel 2:32, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. On Mount Zion in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, and the Lord has said, even among the survivors the Lord calls, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. Paul's building his case here. And then the third witness is none other than the great man Moses himself. And he enters the court with his flowing robes and the biggest beard you've ever seen. And Michael had a very strong beard today. He's looking very strong. And Brenton's got a very good, strong Moses beard there. That's good. But Moses came in with his beard. And Moses gets straight to the point in Deuteronomy 30. But the word is very near you. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart that you may do it. And so this is where Paul jumps in and he says, yes, that's it. Moses is right. It's in your heart. That's the most important thing. You don't have to try and reach up to heaven, Paul says. He's quoting Moses. You don't have to try and reach up to heaven. That's an impossible reach. God's not looking for us to try and be perfect. God's not looking for us to be religiously perfect. That's what reaching up to heaven is trying to get there by ourselves. God's not looking for that. And Paul says, yes, it's in your heart. He goes on to say, we don't have to go down to the depths to raise ourselves up again. It's impossible to resurrect yourself out of life's problems. We can't resurrect ourselves out of life's problems. Jesus has already risen from the grave on our behalf. And Paul is saying it's the word of God. It's the message about Jesus that only the gospel can reach into people's hearts and do a miracle in their life. Nothing in the world can compare to the good news about Jesus. And this is where Paul turns to the Gentiles and turns to us and as well as to the Jews. And he asks five very challenging questions in Romans 10. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? For as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How do they know unless somebody tells them? How do they know unless somebody brings the good news? How do they know unless somebody reaches out? Nothing is going to impact somebody's heart like the good news about Jesus. But how are they going to know, Paul says? How are they going to know? Moses says, look, it's in our hearts. We've got the message in our hearts. But unless somebody goes, how will they know? This is what Paul is saying. And it's Paul's personal pain that his own people had stopped listening. But he's not giving up on them, and neither is he watering down the message to us that we all have a mandate to preach the gospel as far and wide as we can, as far and wide as we can. And, you know, Pastor Andrew asked us to write down one name right at the start of this series. And, you know, it's funny, the one name rang me on Thursday, And I was thinking, great, they're going to give me a call, so I thought, all right. So, and save my phone call, but no, I should have rang them. And but they rang me, and they just asked for some practical help. So I was like, great, absolutely, I'll give you some practical help. And I went the extra mile, offered some more help. And, you know, but the thing is, I know there's pain in their heart. I know they've got pain in their life. I know that in their own way, they're trying to be good. They're trying to reach up to heaven by living a good life. No, we can't judge them for that. Of course they are. Of course they're trying to live. Of course they're trying to, you know, find a way to live with their pain. And I know that they, in their own way, they are trying to lift themselves out of their problems. They're trying to resurrect themselves out of their problems. But only Jesus truly has the answer for those questions. And you see, and so, but the challenge for me, and I think for all of us, is how do I help the gospel reach further than ever before? How do I help the one person on my list who's reached out to me? And I know that they've got pain in their life, and they cover it. You don't know it. You wouldn't know it. But they're trying to reach out for something. They're trying to find a better life. They're trying to help themselves out of their own trouble. But how do I make the gospel go further? Now, of course, Jesus is the one who died on the cross. Jesus is the one who can help them. But what can I do to help the gospel reach? And I think that's the challenge for us, for all of us here today. How can I help the gospel? How, you know, how can I do that? How can I do that? Paul quoted Isaiah, how beautiful, how good are the feet of those who bring good news. You know, beautiful in the Hebrew means beautiful. You wouldn't know that, would you? Out of all the language in the world that should have a deeper meaning about beautiful, Hebrew just means beautiful. And, you know, so don't answer, but who here has beautiful feet? Hey, fantastic, we got one there. These guys, that's amazing, and that's good. You need to let us know how you do that. When Paul is talking about a messenger, their feet would have been filthy. They would have been traveling over the mountains, been traveling everywhere. But the thing is, what is going to bless people, what is going to bless that one person on my list is the good news about Jesus. It's the message that you don't have to try and reach up to heaven. You don't have to try and reach up to heaven. You don't have to try and lift yourself out of your own struggles. Jesus has already risen from the grave. You see, when Jesus talked about Pharisees, he said that they were like whitewashed tombs. They were beautiful on the outside, but ugly on the inside. And that's not what God's looking for. In fact, that's the message of Romans. None of us is great on the inside. We need Jesus to wash us and to help us. And that's not what God's looking for. But what will make the gospel go further is being real and authentic on the outside, which is not always pretty. Because none of us really have beautiful feet apart from Tim, which is amazing. But when we bring a message of hope in the middle of our own struggle, then that message will carry further than anything you could ever imagine. That Jesus is standing here with arms open wide for all who call on his name. The reach of the gospel. Only God can reach into people's hearts. So as we're praying and helping the people that we've written down, the reach of the gospel, how can we see the love and the grace of God reach into their heart like never before? That's what that point was about. The third point, the mercy of the gospel. In Luke 5:32, Jesus says this. He says, I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You know, these words are the absolute heart of the gospel. And Paul could never forget the grace and mercy of God in his own life. He talks about his own testimony and past life to Timothy. He says, I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. And see, Paul's not just teaching ideas and theory about Jesus. It's his real life experience. And that's the message of Romans. It's not about trying to become a better person. It's about the grace and the mercy of God reaching out to people who don't deserve it. And in 1 Timothy 1:14, Paul says to Timothy, he says, the grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The word there, abundantly, poured out abundantly, in the Greek is where we get the word hyper. It means over and above. and beyond. And the picture is like a flooding river that reaches out past the boundaries of its banks. And so Paul's own testimony speaks of God's abundant mercy for those outside. And Paul goes on to explain that if he can be saved, then anyone can be saved. Romans 11:1. I ask then, did God reject his people? By no means. I am an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Benjamin. You see, God hasn't rejected his people. There is a small remnant of Jews who do believe in Jesus. And God in his mercy is waiting patiently, holding the door open for the fullness of all people to be saved. You know, when I think about the mercy of God for me in my life, it's that Jesus took my place on the cross. It should have been me. But God in his mercy sent his son into my life, and I am grateful that God has opened my eyes to know what that means for me. And in verse 25 of chapter 11, Paul talks about that what used to be a mystery. What used to be a mystery about Jesus is now revealed. And when Paul talks about a mystery, it's never a secret code. It's the gospel of the mercy of God now made known to us. You see, when the Roman soldiers were nailing Jesus to the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." They don't know what they're doing. And that's the challenge for us with the mercy of God, is to turn the mystery into revelation. For the people, the person that I'm praying for, how can I turn what seems like a mystery to them into revelation of knowing Jesus? That's this point. And that's the challenge for us, to turn the mystery into revelation, to show God's mercy to people that generally just don't fully understand that Jesus took our place on the cross. You guys can jump up. So those three things, the urgency of the gospel, we're going to have a look at a couple of three quick takeaways here in a minute. But the urgency of the gospel, the reach of the gospel, and the mercy of the gospel. We've got a mandate to preach the gospel and sometimes use words just to live our lives as faithful as we can. But the urgency that we are in the final race, that Jesus is the final word of salvation, and let's be bold and let's be real about it and genuinely tell people about it. The reach, only God can reach into people's lives. Only God can help them in their heart to understand things. And the mercy of God's mercy and grace. And we've got three quick takeaways just to think about just right here. Takeaway one, how can I tear the fence down and remove the barriers for others to run the race? What can I do? Like, how can I remove the barriers for people to join in? How can I help them? What can I do for that? And, this is somewhat of a challenging message. I think there's been challenges all through this series. And I'm not perfect in any of this. None of any of the preachers are perfect in any of it. But it's the heart of God for people that don't know him yet. And, you know, I think that it's good for us to look at it and think, what can I do about that? You know, because we are so blessed. We are so blessed with his grace and mercy, but many don't know it yet. And in some ways it's just, we just need to be reminded of the urgency of it. So what can I tear down? How can I remove the barriers? Is there things like, you know, things that we're, maybe even religious things where we think that we have to do things a certain way, but maybe God doesn't really, really, really want to, it doesn't matter. What's their hearts, what's most important? Sometimes things can get, you know, just religious and think that, and people might just see the church a certain way. But how can we just be real people that tears that stuff down, that just helps people see the real God, the real Jesus? Because as soon as we see who Jesus really is, then our eyes are open, our heart melts, and we go, yes, this is who God is. So how can we do that? I can't tell you what that is for you. But how can we break the barriers down for people to come to God, to see who he really is? Takeaway number two, how can I be authentic and real in my life to carry the gospel further than ever before? The person that I was ringing has reached out to me And, you know, all I can do is pray that God is going to reach into their heart further than anything before. That they're looking to try and reach to heaven. They're looking to try and live a good life. They're looking to try and lift themselves out of their trouble. But I'm praying that God is going to reach into their heart. And as I practically help them, it's just loving people, isn't it? It's just loving people with the love that God has loved us with. And we just reach out and help. And in the middle of it, we're praying and hoping that God is going to reach into their hearts. And to give us the words to say to them, to help them, to help them where they're at. How can I be authentic? So we're just real. We've said it from day one. Just be real. We're just real people. Just being a real person that will carry the gospel further than ever before. How can I see the riverbanks of God's mercy pour out into people who don't know who He is? How can I see the mercy of God flood into people's lives who don't know who He is? And, you know, once again, we can only hope and pray. But the way we live our lives, the way that we point to the mercy of God, the way that we maybe don't judge, the way that we forgive, the way that we see Jesus tells the parables about the people that have been forgiven, and what's He looking for? Those that have been forgiven should go and forgive. These sorts of things, that how we've been shown mercy, that we can show mercy to others. So I trust today that you've just been soaking that all in, and the urgency of the gospel, the reach of the gospel, and the mercy of the gospel. I pray that those three things are able to be effective in your lives and in my life and in our lives as we're moving forward with this series in Romans. And can I just, I haven't even thought about this, can I just pray for the people that we are one person? Because we wrote one person down at the start, and I just, nothing to do with my notes, I hadn't even thought about it. But could you just think about your person? And if you haven't got somebody yet, I'll give you 30 seconds. And can think about somebody that you just want to preach the gospel to and you're hoping to be saved. And but let's just lift these people up before God. Lord, we just pray today for this one person, Lord, that we have been thinking about, Lord, from the start of this series. Lord, that we've been running the race this year. And Lord, part of that is evangelism, is discipleship, but also part of discipleship is evangelism, of reaching out, of taking the message about who Jesus is far and wide. And so, Lord, we just pray today. We're asking that you help us, Lord, to minister to these people, Father God, with the urgency of the gospel, Father God, that we must say something, not to be weird or religious or just, you know, in any way like that. But, Father, just help us to know that this is a message that they need to hear. Lord, that we can reach out to them, Father God. We pray that you work in their hearts and in their lives. Lord God, help us to reach further than ever before. Help us, God, to know, Father God, that you're reaching into their hearts and in their lives, that they don't have to be perfect. We don't have to be perfect. But, Lord, that we know that, Jesus, you've risen from the grave for us to help us in our life and in our struggles. And, Lord, your mercy. Lord God, just let your mercy, Father God, be on these people that we're praying for and believing for. Lord God, let them know the grace and the love and the goodness of God in their life. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Very good. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here today. Thank you for listening, and I'm going to hand back to the team.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message this week.